We all have expectations. We have them of ourselves. We have them of other people, other things. So if you have your Bibles, join me in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 17 through 24. And as you turn there, I will be reading out of the New King James Version tonight. So those of you with Bible apps, if you want to follow along with that, great. So as you guys turn there, I'd like to tell a quick story. Last Thursday, we have a guy who works part-time. He works one day a week. He's semi-retired, and he shows up to work on Thursday. That's the day that he decided that is going to work best for him. So he's a split shift. He works noon to 4 o'clock, or noon to 8 o'clock, excuse me. So I have these huddles every day from first shift to second shift and so on, and we're in these huddles, and I'm giving, you know, everybody the rundown on what's going on during the day and what they should expect, what jobs we have in the department. And I said, all right, y'all have a good day, and everybody splits, and then my shift lead is sticking around so I can give him, greater detail as to what I need him to do for that night. And this part-time guy is just hanging around. And so I tell my lead, I said, all right, man, if you need anything, give me a call. And I walk up to the part-time guy and say, hey, what's going on? He goes, is there no prayer today? And I said, I can pray for you. I said, most of these guys don't stick around anymore, so I kind of got away from him. I said, but can I pray for you, or what do you need specifically? And he said, well, my grandson has had a terrible concussion. He's been battling symptoms for about 2 months, and him and I had talked about it, but it's progressively getting worse, and he's been seeing neurologists and brain doctors about getting him back on the right track. And so I prayed with him, and he said, thanks, Phil. I really do appreciate that. And I said, yeah, man, no problem, anytime. But as I was leaving work, I couldn't help but wonder, I couldn't help but think that he was coming to work that day with the expectation that I was going to pray with the team, and I didn't. And so he had that expectation of me, and I didn't meet it. And it kind of took me by surprise, really. But I was thankful that he asked. And, you know, we all have, like I said earlier, we all have expectations of people. We all have expectations of places. All have expectations of things. And those people, places, and things all have expectations of us as well. And when we have these certain amount of expectations or these certain roles that we have, they're expected to be to change over time. When we're a child, we're not expected to work a 40-hour work week. But as we get into adulthood, we're expected to work and provide for our families. When I go out to eat at a sit-down restaurant, I go with the expectation that the server is going to serve me, that they're going to be nice to me, that they're going to provide me a hot meal. But that restaurant and that server also expect me to pay for the meal, to be nice to the server as well, and to tip her or him before I leave. So it doesn't matter what expectations you have, we all have them with something or about somebody. But Christians, our expectations are different than the world. My question tonight is, are we meeting those expectations? So Ephesians chapter 4, Paul kind of outlines what we can expect of the world, but also what God expects of us as believers. So Ephesians 4 again, the New King James Version, verse 17, says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we commit this service to you from the very beginning of it, God, to the very end of it. I pray that these words do not fall on deaf ears of God, and that you can challenge us as to see how we line up with what you're asking of us, God. Are we meeting the expectations that you have for us as believers, God? And And are we shocked at how the world is? And I pray that you can give us a divine perspective tonight as to what we ought to be expecting from the world, and then also what you expect of us as your children. We love you so much, God, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul here in Ephesians is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify to the Lord." Paul is writing these things, but it is God who is saying them. So keep that in mind, that Paul is writing it, but God is the one who is leading this conversation. He says that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Notice that everything we do starts with how we walk. Not how we physically walk, but the lifestyle choices that we make. Everything we do, good or bad, starts with who we follow while we're walking with Him. What lifestyle choices we choose to make. If I want to get stronger and bigger, I go to the gym. I have to watch my eating. I have to watch my sleep. There's a lot of things that go into that lifestyle of being healthier. If I don't care, then I won't care. But there's still a lifestyle associated with that. Paul is saying we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. He's saying the world that is before us, who we used to be, by the way, we should no longer continue in that same walk. Our lifestyles should change. And if we're believers, who we walk with now is Jesus Christ. We do not walk with the rest of the world. We do not follow in their footsteps. Rather, we follow in the footsteps of a risen Savior. But notice here what he says, how they walk. And this is important, because if we have a different perspective of what we think the world should be like, and how what we expect out of the world, and how we expect certain people without Christ to live, according to how we think it should be done, we're going to be let down. The ball is going to be dropped, and we're going to be like, well, why can't they act like us? Well, friends, it's because they're not like us, and we'll learn that as we go through here. So Paul is calling this church to not walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Well, how do they walk? In the middle part, it says, in the futility, or towards the end of 17, in the futility of their mind. What that word futility means, it means their thoughts are aimless. Their thoughts are purposeless. It's not to say that they don't have good ideas. It's not to say that they can't do mighty feats or have great discoveries. It's saying the thought process and the patterns in which they do, it's not purposeful. Their thoughts aren't purposeful with godly intent. It's not to say that these people are silly or stupid or anything like that. It's saying the futility of their mind, they are not able to think clearly with a divine perspective. And if we think that they should, well, God's words here telling us that they can't, that they won't. Because in verse 18 it says, having their understanding darkened. The Bible tells us that Satan veils the eyes of the unbelievers. So for them to have the same understanding that we have on specific topics or specific things, it's unrealistic. Our expectations of the world and the people who live in the world outside of Christ, if we think that they should be acting like us, our expectations are never going to be met. They're never going to meet our expectations. And when people don't meet the expectations that we set before them, a lot of times we can push them off to the side and say, I'll find somebody who lines up with me. And then we blow our witness because of it. But he says, because Satan is darkening their understanding, they don't have a godly understanding. I could go to a car dealership to get the coffee and watch TV there that they offer, but I would be missing the main point of going to a car dealership, which is to buy a car. Such as the understanding of the world, the Gentiles, the non-believers. They understand sort of what their purpose is here. They understand sort of what they need to be doing, but because their understanding is darkened, they cannot fully understand the main purpose of life, which is to serve a living God. They can't wrap their minds around it. Because of this, in verse 18, because of their understanding is darkness, or their understanding is darkened, they're alienated from the life of God. In other words, they're dead men walking. If they don't have Jesus Christ in their life, they're dead men and women walking. And that's a dangerous place to be. The problem is they don't see it. why don't they see it? Because it says, because of the ignorance that is in them. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge or awareness in general. And for somebody to be wandering aimlessly and having a darkened understanding and alienated from the life of God and being ignorant towards it, it's a dangerous spot for that person to be in. And this is not just one person he's talking about. It is the entirety of the world outside of Jesus Christ. The entirety of the world outside of Jesus Christ. And the problem is they don't care. The world does not care to live up to the expectations that God has for them. They don't even know about it a lot of the time because they're too busy doing what they want to do. And such were some of us. There was a time that we also did those things, and we also were left to our own devices to wander aimlessly and have our understanding being darkened. But not anymore. God has called us out of that. But here's the problem with it at the tail end of 19. So they're walking with the futility of their mind. They're having their understanding darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. They're because they're ignorant. And the reason being is what it says at the tail end of verse 18. Because of the blindness of their heart. This is a heart problem. Because their choice to walk outside, not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because their heart is hardened, they cannot have all of these things that we have. They cannot understand why it is important to go to church, why it is important to have a relationship with Christ, why it's important to practice sacrificial giving, why it's important to do all these things that God asks us as believers to do. They cannot fathom it. And what really kills me sometimes is we as believers look down on them because they are not doing what we think they ought to be doing. The Bible clearly tells us through these couple of verses what we should expect out of them. So why is our expectation of the world higher than God's? If he's telling us, if Paul is writing here, this is how they're going to be, why do we think that they're going to be any different? Why do we think that they should be any different? If the Bible is true and these verses are true, we should expect it. It's a heart problem that they are struggling with. And if it's a heart problem, they don't care about what they're doing. All they care about is me, myself, and I, and how I can get ahead and how I can do these things. They don't care about Jesus Christ. And as a side note, if we're not living how Christ called us to live, all they get is a bad testimony. All they get is a bad witness. We need to tighten up. So with it being a heart problem, I think verse 19 is one of the more upsetting verses, but it's true. So because they have a heart problem, 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and with greediness. They no longer feel. They no longer care about the things that we think they should care about. They don't care if they are hurting somebody's feelings. They don't care if they are walking over somebody. It's all about how they can get ahead, and it doesn't matter who they step over, who they walk across. People are doormats. It doesn't matter. 1 Timothy says their conscience are seared. That means they're pressed off, they're cut off, they're burned off. They can't think and do the things the way that we think they should, the way that God had intended them to be done. Cannot happen. The problem, though, that we run into, I believe, as believers, when we're trying to witness to this crowd here, when we're trying to witness to the world, it is extremely hard to convince somebody who is walking, has flesh and skin and breathing with a beating heart and air in their lungs, that they're dead when they're physically alive. It is extremely hard to convince somebody or tell them that, yes, I know you're breathing just like I am. I know your heart is beating just like mine is. I know that you're using words just like I am. Brother, sister, Friend, you're not alive. You're not alive. And it gets back to the heart problem. They're not alive because the way they chose to walk, the way they wake up every morning choosing to walk, the lifestyle they choose to live outside of Christ does not allow for it. Verses 17 through 19 make that very clear. And if the Bible is telling us this is what we should expect, I think us as believers need to have this perspective going into the world. I was last week, for whatever reason at work, three different people came up to me and asked me to pray for them. One of them was Monday, not this Monday, but last Monday. This guy said, "Hey, can you come over here for a second?" And I said, "Yeah." I thought he screwed up some of my wire, as he so frequently does. And I go over to him and I say, "Yeah, what's up, man?" He said, "Hey, I know you're kind of better at this than I am." I said, "Well, I have no idea. Better at what?" He goes, "You know, talking to God and praying and, you know, this, that, and the other." I said, "Oh, yeah, what do you need?" Well, there was a homicide two Sundays ago in Fort Wayne. There was a 15 or 16-year-old boy who took the life of a 19-year-old young man over, like, vape pens with THC in them or marijuana. I don't know exactly what they are. But the guy who was asking me to pray, his nephew was in that group. And so he's telling me this story. He said, "Yeah, my nephew was there was three kids, two 16-year-olds and a 15-year-old. His nephew was in that group. And the 19-year-old kid, the dealer or whatever you want to call him, was the one delivering the pens in." He said that his buddy, the 16-year-old kid, called him and said, "Hey, I want these pens." And the kid's like, "Okay, I'll bring them to you." Well, as the guy is traveling to him, the 16-year-old said, "Hey," to his buddies, "Hey, I'm gonna rob this guy. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna rob him, take his money, and take his pens." And my friend's nephew was like, "What? Why you want to rob him? What for?" Well, anyways, when the dealer gets to those three folks, two of the kids leave, the kid's nephew and another guy, which just left the 16-year-old and the 19-year-old, and is in an alley on the south side of town, and they hear a gunshot, bang, and they hear the kids here screaming. And this is the account that the nephew was telling to the guy I work with. He said, "I heard a bang, and then I heard screaming. And then I hear a bang, 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 bang." And all I'm thinking is, my friend is dead. That's what he's telling his nephew. Well, it turns out, as he gets, you know, as the friends meet back up, the 16-year-old comes back and says, "Man, I panicked. I shot the kid. And he started screaming, and he didn't die, so I didn't know what to do, so I emptied the clip on him till he was dead." And when I heard that, I said, "Yeah, I'll pray for him." So he wanted me to pray for his nephew because, I mean, he was involved in it, you know, didn't want to go to prison. So I ended up praying for his nephew and all of the families involved. But when I heard that story, I mean, he was shaken up about it. He's like, "Phil, I've never had to deal with this in my life. I don't know what to do." But when I heard it, I didn't know that was what he was going to ask me. But this is how the world acts. You say, "No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not how the world acts." Well, it is. So, well, it's a 16-year-old kid. He's outside of Christ. What do we expect? If verse 19 tells us that they've given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness, what do we expect? It wasn't enough to break the law and buy these pens. The greediness, no, he was going to rob the kid. And when the robbing went wrong, he took his life. When we hear these stories, yeah, it might be shocking at first, but the world is a scary place. The world is a very dark place, and to hear these stories and to think, "Oh, that's out of character," no, it's not. That is right up the alley of what we should expect out of the world. It's when the person living in the world outside of Jesus says, "Hey," has morals, rather. To say it simply, has morals. That's what's shocking to me. When I can talk to a Christian and they're bad-mouthing people, and then somebody that does not have a relationship with Christ comes up and asks me how my day is and starts being nice and friendly to me. That's what's shocking to me, when somebody who is lost offers things to me. But the world is, we should expect nothing less from the world based on what Paul is saying, based on how we can look around and see. Turn on the news. There was another story in Thailand. I don't know if you all read that or not. There was a disgruntled police officer. He'd just gotten fired. So what's he do? Goes to the local schoolhouse. Shoots up. Kills 36 people. Of those 36 people, 24 of them were children. I read that story this week. It was on the front page. And thought, a world without God, this is what we can expect. A world without law, this is what we can expect. This is what we should expect. But the world doesn't see it that way. The world won't see it that way because of what is said in verse 17 through verse 19. But he doesn't stop there. Paul doesn't stop there. He says in verse 20, but you have not so learned. He says, in other words, he's saying, not us as believers. You have learned Christ, is what he's saying. And if you look at all those things that were listed in verse 17 through 20, because we have learned Christ, we should have different expectations than what the world has. Where they were stuck in the futility of their mind, we have direction. We're not wandering aimlessly. Where they had their understanding darkened, we have understanding. Where they lack where they are alienated from the life of God, we have life of God through Christ Jesus. Where they are ignorant, we have knowledge of who God is and what He expects out of us. When their heart is blind, our heart has been made flesh and unveiled only through Jesus Christ. So we no longer, as believers, have this eternal heart problem as the world does. We no longer have to worry about that. So now what? So now now that we have been made new in Christ, what does God expect out of us as believers? Well, in verse 21, he says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So he's saying, if you are following, if you have heard, and if you have been taught by him through the Holy Spirit, then you should have no problem living a straight and narrow lifestyle. You should have no problem turning away from the person that you used to be. Your expectations are no longer verses 17 through 19. Rather, your expectations are different. You have a divine perspective in your life, and you have a compass, which is the Holy Spirit, that points you and convicts you in the way that your lifestyle should go. You're no longer walking with the world. You're walking with Christ as a believer. And he says in verse 22, and here's what our expectation is, that you put off concerning your former conduct. By the way, before I get too much further, what he's talking about, your former conduct, verses 17 through 19, everybody who is a believer, this is how we used to be. No more, no less. We all had these same ideologies. We all had the same exact path in life. We all had a hard heart. We all were wandering aimlessly. We all didn't care about the sin that we were living in. We were so far engulfed in the sin that we couldn't even recognize it. But not anymore. Not anymore because of Christ. And as believers as well, I'll say this again, we shouldn't look down at the world as though we are better than them. When I read verses 17 through 19, that just screams, they need help. Who's going to provide that? They need light. Who's going to provide that light? Who's going to provide that help? It ought to be us. But we're acting like we're better than them, like we ain't never had a splotch on us. Change your mind. Change your understanding. Change your thinking. Be the person that God has called you to be so that we might save more, not us, we might save more, pull more from this group. Not that we're doing it, but because we're being ambassadors of Christ and He's doing it through the way we live, through our lifestyle. So we're a great tool for His ministry. Put off your old ways put off the old man, your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to his deceitful lusts. Again, we were no different. 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Allow Christ, if we're not allowing Christ to renew our minds daily, if we're not reading, if we're not praying, if we're not doing the things that God has asked us to do, is there a chance, just a sliver of a chance, that we might revert back to our former conduct? Sure. Because there ain't a single Christian in here that's perfect yet. So how do we maintain that path? How do we stay on that path? It's by doing what He's asked us to do and changing our lifestyle. And what He expects out of us, and what He expects out of us, is stated in, and this is the new expectations for the Christian in verse 24, and that you put on the new man. So in verse 22, he's telling us to take off the old man. Verse 24, he's telling us to put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This was the man that God designed us to be, the new man. Not the old dead man. Not the old dead man, but the new man who was made alive in Christ. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. A quick list of expectations we now have as believers in Christ. So Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another's burdens, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all, these things put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Friends, as a believer in Christ, these are your expectations now. It's not do whatever you want, however you want it, walk over whoever you want, do whatever you have to do to get ahead and make sure that your family gets ahead. No. That was the old you. If you have been made alive in Christ as verse 21 of Ephesians 4 says, and we ought to be changing our lifestyles. We ought to be changing the things that we used to dabble in. We ought to be changing up all of those things, because this is the new expectations that we have as a believer. Now, the hard question is, and the question that I want to know, and don't anybody raise your hand, because it's a question that you have to ask yourself, is, are you meeting these expectations? Are you doing what God has asked you to do? Because if you're not, friend, you probably ain't living too healthy of a life, spiritually and other. God has a specific plan for each and every single one of us in this room. We can run as long as we want, as long as we can. But I'll tell you what you should expect if you live a life without Christ, and you die without Christ, what you can expect is eternal suffering and hell. If you live a life with Christ and you walk hand in hand with Him this side of heaven, that's exactly what you can expect. Heaven. Now, friends, which side are you walking on? What lifestyle are you choosing to live? The Bible is very clear about expectations. And I pray tonight that you can start meeting some of them. Let's stand.